Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Friday to you, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is over there. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking about it all morning. We are tantalizingly close to a long weekend. Some of us have to work however long your work takes you or whatever today. For me, my shift is something like 5 a.m. to about 2:30, something like that. I try to cut out early on Fridays, but my job, we were talking about this, Mello. There are jobs where you go and you, these are the hours you work, period. And it doesn't matter how much the work there is, you work these hours. You and I have jobs where it's basically, you know, we work until the work is done. And, I've actually worked those kinds of jobs my whole life. And you know, that's, I'm okay with that. I feel like I have some control in that I can go, okay, this absolutely has to be done today. This absolutely has to be done today. This absolutely has to be done. So there's, you know, there's a decision-making process there where, okay, can this be done today? And it's not the kind of job for a procrastinator, of course, but it's the kind of job that you go and you get the work done. And when the work is done, then you go home. They always talk about the positive side of that, the kind of job in which you go and get the work done, is, Mello's back with us. She was answering the phone.
Yeah. So we've got Barbara on line one, okay. And she wanted to talk to you about some politics stuff.
Okay, cool. We'll talk to Barbara here in just a second. Let me finish my thought though. Mm-hmm. The kind of jobs we have, the work till you get the work done jobs, ideally, you know, that kind of job, you go, okay, well, one day I might work 10, 11, 12 hours. The next day, hey, 5-6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm off early.
Yes.
The sad part about that for most jobs, though, like yours and mine, that actually rarely happens.
Right, you're always working.
The light day is 8 or 9 hours, mm-hmm. you know, and the other days are 10, 11, 12 hours. And that's the way it is. But I like that kind of job. I like to make lists. I don't know if you're a list person. I like to make lists. I'll make a list of all the things I have to do on a certain day. And then, you know, the feeling you get when you put that little X by the whatever it is you accomplish. It's like, I don't know, endorphin. I don't know what it is, but
it
feels good.
It's a little dopamine hit. Sometimes I'll write stuff on my list that I've already done just so I can cross it off.
That's cheating.
I know, but it makes me feel good.
Yeah, so... Anyway, but yeah, some of you have, of course, have to make it through the workday today. Others have taken today off, so it's really like a 4-day weekend. And, you know, kudos to you if you can do that. I'm praying, I got my fingers crossed I can clear out of here before 1 o'clock and then, and you know, then have the rest of it. How about you got a giant day?
Today, I've just got to get a couple of things uploaded for a contract and get a listing ready, but then I have to stage a house on Sunday and Monday. So I will be working this weekend. I know, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
All right. Now, who'd you say was on the phone?
Barbara. I actually know her. She's in my neighborhood.
Hi, Barbara. What's going on?
Hi. I am good. And yes, I know Mello. She is a sweetheart.
She is.
So I have Jimmy Keston. Can you give me his name, his phone number over the air or not?
You know, I have never cleared with him to give his number over the air, so I'm not going to do it until I get permission from him, but I can give it to you privately later if you would like.
Okay, maybe Mello could text it to me or something.
Okay.
Also, the candidates. Okay, I just need to know who all the candidates are for the different things that we have coming up in our elections. And I don't know, is that online somewhere?
Yeah, there, in fact, I was doing a little research earlier. VoteUtah.gov is one of them that has a good, like, general overall listing. The Republican, are you a Republican then, or are you just a general?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Republican primary is June 25th. So we actually have pretty much a full month to kind of you know, and they may have to have the early mail-in ballots and early voting and stuff. But, the actual primary is on the 25th of June, so we do have a little bit more time. And that's kind of why I've been holding back. I've had a lot of political people say, hey, I want to come be on your show, and I want to talk. Well, yeah, but let's wait till June before
give
we get
Memorial
started.
Day.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were going to do that, because I like to hear them personally talk, you know, even like off from the TV type thing, the debates and stuff. I like to hear them be just like one-on-one with you or whatever to kind of get a feel for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And really what they're all about and what their, some of their views and points of, you know, of what they're going to be doing in office. I mean, I just really, I want to be aware and informed, and I want to make good decisions. So in order to do that, you kind of need to know. But I thought, well, I'll check with Jimmy, too, because he was in my caucus. We were one of the ones who voted him in to represent us. And so I know he would be more than willing to share some of his insights with me as well.
Now, Jimmy's been on vacation for the last couple of weeks, but he does appear on the morning show Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 7:25. So you can also catch Jimmy's musings on politics, too.
I've heard him. I've heard him then. But
he does a great job.
I just want him to ask some specific questions to him. So anyway, but yeah, that would be great. I'll look forward to hearing from some of those candidates as you get into that in June then.
Very good. Thank you, Barbara. One thing I will say, the Congressional District 2 race, Celeste Malloy and Colby Jenkins, that's going to be tough. And I'm friends with both of those people. And it's going to be, I don't feel like that you can get, I don't think there's a wrong answer on this one. I think that both of those two will do great. It's a matter, it's almost an apples and oranges thing. Celeste is really good at, you know, land issues and things that are really, really important to Utah, like how much is, you know, BLM, you know, the feds own and you know, the Northern Corridor and land swaps and all. I mean, that is right up her alley. She has a degree in that. She's an expert on that. Colby is a lot better at, you know, kind of the country, you know, kind of defense the country, the intelligence and how we deal with foreign entities and stuff. And I don't know that he's as good as far as representing Utah, but as far as being a congressman, I think Colby would be a fantastic congressman. So that's going to be an interesting race. There's a third guy. I think he dropped out now, but the primary again is June 25th, and we will have them and other candidates on the air as we get closer. So look forward to that here on the Andy Griffin Show. It is, let's see, 9:16 on a Monday. Mello is here, and she brought me a drink. So Mello gets a gold star for today. I told the boss, you need a raise. And he said something to the effect of, does she still work here? Something like that. Because apparently you haven't clocked in like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, I kind of forget because I'm not used to being hourly. It's just hard for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's understandable. Yeah.
I'll get a big paycheck, though, right?
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, actually only about a week and a half ago, no, 8 days ago, a man in Wyoming was attacked by a grizzly bear. He was mauled. Now, the guy was carrying a firearm, and while he was beat up pretty good by the grizzly bear, he did was able to get enough shots off to kill the bear. He shot it a few times. The bear ended up kind of wandering off after he found out that, you know, that bee does sting sometimes.
Yeah.
The bear ended up dying about 100 yards from where the attack took place. The man was in the hospital, but not critically injured. He was seriously injured, but it wasn't critical. His life was never in danger, thank goodness. But it got me to thinking, are there grizzly bears in Utah?
And I don't know.
If there are, then where are they? And should we be aware of grizzly bears? As I was looking into it, as it turns out, no. There has not been a grizzly bear sighting in the state of Utah in 101 years. 101 years. 101 years ago, there was a grizzly bear that was nicknamed Old Ephraim or old three toes, they used to call them. The thing was massive, 10 feet tall, 1,100 pounds.
Like they actually caught it and Grizzly weighed bear. It, or this well, is a fish story?
No, this is a real story. Okay. This is it. They have pictures. This was in Cache Valley. The grizzly bear would just occasionally show up and take a sheep or a calf or some kind of livestock. And yeah, basically, yeah, whenever he got hungry, he'd come down out of the mountains and grab something to eat and go back up into the mountains. And he was almost a mystic or mythic figure.
Yeah.
And finally, one rancher who'd had several of his sheep eaten by this old Ephraim decided he'd had enough. So he got himself a high-powered rifle, went up into the mountains, and eventually, after 10 years of chasing this thing around, finally caught up to old Ephraim. And, it says actually in the Roadside America website, blew his brains out.
No. Oh.
Finally killed old Ephraim. But then they got a wagon and hauled old Ephraim down. This was in 1923, hauled old Ephraim down out of the mountains, and... old Ephraim, that's when they weighed him and measured him. 10 feet tall, 1,100 pounds. So big, maybe the biggest grizzly bear that they had up to that point had record. So they sent his skull, old Ephraim's skull, to the Smithsonian Institute, where it sat and was, I guess, visited, admired. I don't know what the word is.
So random.
For many, many years. The good news, old Ephraim never killed any humans. And old Ephraim's was given an honorable burial up there in Cache Valley. And you can actually go visit old Ephraim's grave.
Stop it.
Up in Cache Valley. Old Ephraim was the last grizzly bear that has been seen in Utah. We do have, however, black bears. Quite a few black bears. Has there ever been a fatality in Utah? Yes. A black bear, I think it was in 2007, so 16 years ago. Swiped a kid from his tent. So he slashed the tent open, grabbed the kid in his mouth, carried him away, and this is kind of gross, but ate part of the kid before
wow.
they were finally able to intervene and kill the bear. But, the kid died.
Wow.
I think he was 13 or something like that.
So I was at girls' camp. I was a girls' camp leader in Colorado. And I have this delicious syrup that you've tasted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I made that.
That's epic.
And I had it in the bin, but I... and the other camp leaders, not just me, did not remember to put it in the car.
Uh-oh.
And a bear came into our camp at night.
Oh, they love it. It's like a honey maple base, right?
Yeah. They swiped that. There's like claw marks like in that little
really?
Toe. Yeah. And like it fell and like over. But the leadership of the church was there that night. And I don't know, they got up and scared it away. I don't know, but it didn't like get any of the girls. And some of the girls had candy in their tent. Like it could have been super bad.
It reminds me of a story. So years ago, I was a newlywed, right? Mm-hmm. My wife and I lived up, we were going to Utah State University, and we had these really good friends, Scott and Michelle, and we decided that as a fun little couples excursion, we were going to go and go to Bear Lake, of all places, right? Bear Lake, and sleep on the beach at Bear Lake, right? How cool is that, right? So
romantic.
So, yeah, I know. And so we're sleeping on the beach, and of course, there's no lights anywhere. It's pretty dark. A few stars, you know, you can see a little bit, but not a lot. And we had a little picnic there, had a little picnic table, and slept on the beach. And at some point in the middle of the night, I'm surmising it was between two and 4 a.m. is the deep of night, right? Mm-hmm. We start hearing something rooting around at our picnic table, in our basket, and by our food and our stuff. And of course we're sleeping at Bear Lake on the beach. And so it was my wife here. We're on the beach in sleeping bag. My wife, next to me and then Scott and then Michelle. And so when I start hearing this rooting around, the women were both sound asleep. I hear this rooting around and I kind of reach over and kind of jostle Scott. And he's like, oh, I'm awake. I'm like, do you hear that? And he goes, yeah, I hear something in our stuff. And I said, this is a bear lake. Do you think it's a bear? And Scott's like, It could be, man. I mean, that they named it Bear Lake for a reason, right? I mean, you know, and so I'm like, so Scott, what do we do? And he's like, I don't know. What do you think we should do? We're like, you know, we're whispering, and we're probably maybe 20, 25 feet from the picnic table, and maybe 30 feet down on the beach. And I said, what do we do? And well, I don't know. What do we do? And I said, all right, why don't we do this? It'll probably scare our wives, but all that matters is getting rid of the bear. So let's, at the same time, jump up out of our sleeping bags and start jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and see if we can scare the bear away.
No.
Yeah, that's what we decided we were going to do. So.
Oh, my God. No.
So, yeah. So middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning, all right, on three, and one, two, and on three, we jump up and start jumping up and down and scream, trying to, they say when you encounter a wild animal, get as big as you can. So we both put our hands over our head. It's the middle of the night. We're jumping up and down, in our underwear and trying to scare this bear. And, as it turns out, it was not a bear. It was a skunk.
Oh no.
And scared the heck out of it. Now, what do skunks do when they're scared?
They spray.
They spray. Yeah, he sprayed. Now we were again about 25 feet away, so he sprayed. He didn't really spray us. He just sprayed in our general direction and ran off, this skunk. But as you know, when a skunk sprays, even if it's not on you, it is everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we ended up throwing away our sleeping bags and the clothes we had been wearing and most of the stuff that we had brought for picnics and stuff because it just smelled awful. And there was no bear. I've never met a bear face-to-face except at a zoo, thank goodness.
Oh, my gosh. And
everybody, I've had people ask me, what would you have done if it was a real bear and it didn't get scared, it didn't run away?
You'd be like, there's two girls in the bags, run.
I was like, I don't know what I would have done. I was a pretty good athlete back in the day. Yeah. We might have taken off running. I was a gentleman, though. I would not have left my sweet
wife. No, I know
wife,
you would not.
You know?
So we actually,
although you know what a bear calls a woman in a sleeping bag?
What?
A burrito.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so funny.
Anyway, yeah.
No, but we actually went, when you're going to Arizona from here and you drive like through Vegas, there's, if you go off the beaten path, like over at Kingman, like another like 40 miles down the road, there's like this animal sanctuary.
Really? Okay.
And so they have like bears and tigers, kind of like a lion.
Yeah,
they do. And they're like behind a chain link fence and you can get rather close.
I don't think I want to be that close, but okay.
I was a little scared too. And so I'm there and I'm with my son and I'm walking up and this grizzly, I don't know if it's a big black bear, it's huge. And it starts like kind of walking and then it like starts running and like bangs against the fence. And my husband got it all on the video and I was screaming and you can just hear him laughing. But it was so terrifying to have this animal just like run at you. But I was glad there was a chain link fence, but I was like, is that really strong enough? I don't know. I was a little nervous about that.
There is a group, by the way, out there called the High Uintas Preservation Council, the HUPC, the Hupkey, whatever. Mm-hmm. She showed me the tickets. Yes, we're going to give away some tickets here in a couple minutes. That wants to reintroduce the grizzly bear to the wilds of Utah. They feel like that it will. I was like, why? Why would they do that? And they said, well, having a healthy fear of wildlife when you go camping is a good thing. I'm like,
what?
No, it's not. I mean, I guess you want to, I don't know, you want to keep the stoners and the partiers out of the wild, maybe, or something?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Or maybe, natural selection, the dummies that go in grizzly bear area get eaten. No, we don't want people eaten, but.
No.
Yes, this High Uintas Preservation Council says we should introduce grizzlies back into the Utah wilderness. It's worth noting the bear attack in Wyoming is a neighbor to Utah. And bears don't care about borders. The grizzly's not going to go, oh, that's the Utah line. I'm not going there. You know, they don't care about that. So it's not like we can't have grizzlies in Utah. It's just none have been sighted in the state in a long, long time, 101 years.
Is that kind of like the Sasquatch? Maybe we just don't see them, but they're there.
We need Jack Lancaster here. He's got the lowdown on the Yeti or the Sasquatch or the whatever it is. Is Yeti and Sasquatch the same thing? I know Yeti's kind of the abominable snowman and maybe has white fur, but
I think they're different.
Are they different?
I think it's different.
Maybe they're related?
I think Yetis people have seen. I don't know the difference.
Well, Jack would contend that the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, is very real, and people have seen them. He has says he's seen compelling video evidence.
Oh, and he makes fun of my conspiracy theories.
I'm a little. Oh, does he? Yeah. Well, just next time he calls you on one of your conspiracy theories, say, "Hey, Jack, Sasquatch."
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
All right, now's the time. Again, we're going to give away some tickets. These are VIP tickets to tomorrow's championship round of the LPGA Senior Championship out there at Copper Rock. They're VIP tickets, which means that you can go into the VIP kind of lounge area and get some refreshments and stuff. And we have, I think we have six or something to give away. So
six total.
Yeah, if you want to call right now, 673-5890, 673-5890, that's our area code, 435, then 673-5890. Mello will answer the phone, and you will be able to choose, we'll give you two tickets. If you need four, if you like one ticket, the whole family, we'll probably give four away. I do have some other things to give away later in the show, but right now, call for the LPGA Senior Championship tickets at 673-5890. Right now, we'll check in weather while Mello answers the phone calls.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey there, Southern Utah. sometimes I hit the wrong button. That's where it goes. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. 9:33 on KDXU. Mello Finlinson is with us as well. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
We would like to get Mello on every day of the week with me, but sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you got to fly under the bridge, even if you don't want to, or something. I don't know what that means. All right, couple of local goings on. Tonight is Movie in the Park over at Town Square. They're doing Shrek, and we've all seen Shrek like 18 times. I know I have anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's not about the movie necessarily. I mean, it's kind of about the movie, but it's also about hanging out with friends and, you know, and the movie starts at 8:46, which is sundown. Sounds like kind of a fun experience.
Yeah. I went to the Movie in the Park that they had in Santa Clara last month.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cute. I went with my son, and they had little games set up, and they gave us little tokens. They fed us hot dogs, sodas. It was cute. Loved it.
Bring some snacks if you want your own licorice or popcorn or whatever. They're not going to have that there. And then bring something to sit on, either a blanket or camp chairs or whatever. So, and then tomorrow from, I think it's 5 to 9, it's the Hula Palooza. Now, I want to preface this by saying it does cost money. It's $10 for anyone except for babies. But they're going to have Siva Pacifica performing, and they're going to have frozen treats. And it'll be kind of a fun event over there at the Tonequint All Abilities Park over there. So Hula Palooza tomorrow night. A couple of other things, local news wise, I think this is important, and I've been kind of pushing it today. I hope people will respond. So you remember that thing that happened in Santaquin last week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when the police officer was killed? A guy had turned his truck around on the freeway and ran the police officer down. So after he crashed into and killed the police officer and scared the woman and the UHP officer that were there and almost hit them, he jumped out of his truck and ran over to a gas station in Santaquin. At that point, he got in what they're calling a verbal altercation, argument with somebody with a Ford pickup there. And he didn't have a weapon, as far as I could tell, but he was able to then basically steal that guy's car right out from under him. But they don't know who that guy is. They haven't been able to find the guy whose car was taken.
Really?
And so they're trying to track this guy down because they feel like whatever was said between that guy and this accused murderer could be really instrumental and key in making sure he not only is charged with killing, which they're pretty sure they've got him, you know, dead to rights on the murder of the police officer, but the other crimes committed. And so they want to find this guy. They're asking for the public's help because, you know, it's a gas station in Santaquin. He could be from anywhere along the Wasatch Road, anywhere. He could be from California. He could be from Southern Utah. They don't know. So if anybody knows who that was that got their truck stolen at the gas station in Santaquin by this guy, they're again asking you to call the police.
Don't they have that truck?
I guess they called him, told him where it was. He went and got it, and that was they hadn't heard from him since.
Got you.
So, and then the other thing is, this is pretty cool. Okay, not what happened, but the after the fact. So I don't know if you heard about this. There was a little kid, a little 3-year old. He was driving his toy tractor, and his mom said, I want to ride the toy tractor, Mom. So he got on his little toy tractor. His mom went in the house to check on the baby who was taking a nap. When she got back out, he was gone. Kid was gone. So they live in kind of the farm area. This is out in, I want to say, Beaver area, Beaver, Milford. Anyway, the kid had seen his dad many times drive their little Ford Ranger over this stream on their property. And I guess in his mind, he thought, I can drive over the stream in my little tractor, too. Well, sadly, when he got to the stream, the water was more powerful than the little kid realized. It tipped him over. He was washed downstream, almost a mile downstream, and drowned. Mm. But now the good side. Okay. They found him quickly enough and were able to resuscitate him.
Oh.
Okay.
You should have led with that, Andy.
You wouldn't know the good without the bad, right? Okay. So they were able to resuscitate him. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, a drowning victim or someone who's had some kind of brain injury, how long they were without oxygen is really, really important. And they don't know. They don't know what the answer to that is. They did find him. They did bring him back to life and were able to, they lifelighted him to Primary Children's Hospital in Salt Lake. This is a post from, the little kid's name is Levi Wright. This is a post from his mom. Levi, in all caps, Levi woke up, ! I am shook, but we don't know much, but the doctor said it was okay for me to get excited about that, and I am, all caps again. My baby is so tough. And then she goes on to talk about how they had to sedate him and put him back, you know, have him go back to sleep because he was, you know, a little 3-year old. Thrashing about. But great news that this kid, it seems like, is going to make a full recovery. I had a niece that, you know, was in a bike accident years ago, had a TBI, traumatic brain injury. She was without oxygen for too long, and they could not bring her back. And so it's just so good. And I had a friend, actually, just a few years ago, his son drowned in the pool. They were able to resuscitate him. He did have active brain motion, and eventually he's made a full recovery. It sounds like it's too early to really say for sure, but it sounds like this Levi Wright is going to come back.
That's great.
So, I know our friends over, Aaron E. and DJ over on Cat Country, they are really just kind of following the story really closely. In fact, they even changed their logo temporarily to Levi Country, which I think is pretty cool.
That's my grandson's name, too, so I'm really loving it.
And Levi is the daughter of Callie and Spencer Wright. Spencer is a rodeo star. Bull rider, I think, state of Utah. So, but hopefully Levi makes a full recovery. This is a post from Cat Country. Levi Wright, a 3-year-old Utah, drove his toy tractor into a river. They found the tractor overturned and found Levi ways down the river. They performed life-saving measures, and he was airlifted to Primary Children's Hospital. Things looked bleak, but little miracles have been happening. There's still a long ways to go, but this is a huge thing to have happened. Pray for Levi. That was DJ. So very cool.
So sweet.
I mean... 3 years old, you just, you know.
So it's like a little driving tractor?
Yeah, just one of those little mini tractors, you know. His mom said she didn't think she was gone for more than a minute, you know, to go check on the baby. And then he was gone. And
that's how fast it happens. So terrifying.
She said she jumped in her car, and she knew they had this creek on their property. And I don't know how far away it was from the house, but she said she jumped in her Ford Ranger and went over to the creek first thing and saw his overturned tractor, but he wasn't there.
Oh, gosh.
And so she was really freaking out at that point, called 911. They were able to, again, find his lifeless body, but they brought him back.
So good.
And it sounds like, fingers crossed, right, and prayers and everything, that he is going to make a full recovery. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I want an update on that one. That's
okay. We'll follow that one closely. Just for a minute, I want to talk about water in Washington County. How many reservoirs do you think there are in Washington County?
In Washington County? I know there's quite a bit. They've been doing a lot. I'd say like 23.
Oh, no, not that many. No, no.
I thought they have little ones. Not reservoirs. I'm sorry. I'm thinking like the little buildings like that they...
No, oh, the wells. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
the wells.
No, reservoirs. Actual lakes.
Four.
There are currently six.
Oh.
And one under construction, the Chief Toker up there. And two more proposed, a dry wash in Ivins and the graveyard wash in Santa Clara, which we've talked about. We've got to change that name. And the wish list and one they're working on getting land swap to get done would be the Warner Valley Reservoir. But okay, so Alyssa Reservoirs, Sand Hollow, Quail Creek, Upper Enterprise.
Oh, I forgot that one.
Yeah, Gunlock, Kolob, and Ivins. And
I then, forgot of course, Kolob, okay.
And then, of course, the Chief Toker is under construction right now. Which one would you say is the biggest of all those?
I'd say Sand Hollow.
Yeah, Sand Hollow is by far the biggest. As a matter of fact, Sand Hollow holds... I'll give you the acre feet, and most people are like, I don't know what that means. That just means the width times the depth of the lake, how much water holds, 51,360 acre feet. But the surface area is approximately 1,322 acres. That's a pretty big lake.
It's a fun little lake to take the kids out on.
A lot of people, yeah. Although it's worth mentioning, my son was complaining about this. If you are paddleboarding or kayaking or on any kind of craft in Sand Hollow and you are not wearing a life jacket, they will fine you. I think it's a $500 fine, or maybe it's $299. It's significant enough to make you next time wear your life jacket. Right.
I think it's because of that recent drowning, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's part of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. And not just one. They've had several drownings.
Yeah, so it's so scary. Like I don't. I always wear my life jacket on the boat and
good for you.
You're supposed watercraft. To. Yeah, it makes me nervous. Sure. It makes my kids too.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. But yeah, 1,322 acres of water, great for jet skiing, water skiing, kayaking, paddle boarding. Interestingly enough, this is weird to me. If you're swimming in Sand Hollow, you don't have to have a life jacket on. Only if you're on a paddle board or a kayak or something are you required to wear a life jacket.
Really?
So I guess, well, hey, I'm swimming. I don't want to be floaty float, you know, on the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's... requirements.
That's a good word, floaty float. I'm going to use
floaty
that.
Floaty float, yeah. That's kind of bougie, isn't it?
It's a bougie word.
Yeah, I don't know. the second biggest reservoir in Washington County is Quail Creek Reservoir, as you might guess, but it is actually about a little less than half the size of Sand Hollow. I thought it was closer than that, but no. The surface area of Sand Hollow is about 600 acres. Okay. Interesting. And, of course, Quail Creek is still infamously known as the lake that emptied itself due to a dam break back in 1986. I wasn't here yet then, but, that earthen dam broke. And they were able to, you know, in talking with people that were here, they said they really did a good job of getting the word out to people that lived downstream. And it did wash away, but washed through some houses and apartments. But they had gotten all the people out of those places before the water hit. So that's pretty cool.
That's good planning.
Third biggest is the Upper Enterprise. It has 354 acres of surface water. It is high in elevation, up over 5,000 feet. So maybe not necessarily that fun to paddleboard around because it does get kind of cool there, except for maybe in the heat of, you know, July and August type heat. You're not going to want to hang out in the upper Enterprise in, say, October or in March even. you're gonna freeze. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cold. All right, Gunlock, known for its amazing set of falls when the floodgates are open. Gunlock was completed in 1970, holds 10,884 acre feet of water. That is approximately 266 acres of surface area.
Yeah, I do like to go there. We've gone out there with, we have a little boat that we go out there with. It's just harder to find like beachy areas to like let the kids play. There's only a couple.
Gunlock, of course, known for its incredible falls. And, you know, it's one of those things. My wife's like, let's go out to Gunlock Falls. I'm like, we went there.
She's like, been there, done that.
Yeah, well, let's go out again. I'm like, I've been there like three times. Why do I need to go? Anyway, but it is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is a lot of people, especially from out of the area, they see the falls, they see the pool down at the bottom of the falls, and they're like, I'm going to dive into that. It's, what, a 20, 30-foot jump into the water. Problem is there's rocks right under the surface.
Yeah.
And we have had over and over. I mean, I was looking it up yesterday. I would say at least 10 incidents in recent history, like in the last 20 years, of people jumping in there and hitting a rock and getting injured, or I think one of them was even killed.
Really?
So
yeah. I did have a fall the last time I went to Gunlock Falls.
That's the other thing. It's slippery, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I fell off.
You didn't fall into the water, did you?
No, I fell onto the path.
Okay.
Like, I fell down, like, 20 feet. I rolled down the hill.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, like, I fell, landed on a landing, and then I went to grab the bush, and the bush gave way, and I rolled the rest of the way.
Oh, man. Did you get hurt?
I wasn't. I think I had angels protecting me, honestly.
Okay.
I did hit the back of my head when I fell on the ground, but it wasn't terrible, and I just had some scratches and stuff around.
Okay.
But it was crazy.
Well, I wanted to know your injuries because I wanted to know if I was allowed to laugh about
it. You can totally laugh. My husband's like, can you lay down on the ground again and just let me get a picture?
Video of that, yeah.
I just got down and I said, I got down first. That's all I did because I made it down the hill first.
Next biggest reservoir in Washington County, Kolob Reservoir. It's a popular fishing spot. But again, this one is way high elevation, over 7,000 feet. And again, you're not going to want to hang. In fact, it's inaccessible during the heaviest times of the coldest times of wintertime. It's relatively small at 250 acres of surface area. Then you have the Ivins Reservoir. It's really small, 35 acres. But it does, they built a few years ago the Fire Lake Park surrounding there where you can go. It has a nice beach and kind of a fun little grassy area.
It is so fun. We go there a lot. Yeah. I love it.
It's funny, I was talking with Mayor Hart of mm-hmm. Ivins yesterday about it, and I said, well, we can't tell my wife about this, or she'll want to go over there all the time. And my wife texted me during the show and said, I've already been there three times, dear.
Without you.
Yeah, without me. Yeah. So, who knows what she does when I'm at ball games, right?
Right. She's got some free time on her hands.
Yeah. By the way, the Ivins Reservoir is one of the oldest reservoirs in the county. It was completed back in 1918.
The Fire Lake one?
Yeah. Well, not the Fire Lake Park, but the reservoir itself.
Oh, the reservoir has been there that long, and mm-hmm. then they enhanced it with a park.
Of course, the new one is the Chief Toker, not quite a reservoir yet, but they are working on it. If you go up I-15 and you look over to your right as you pass the Anderson Junction and then up through there, up through Tokerville, you'll be able to see them working on that. That reservoir is enabling Tokerville. I don't think it's not enabling, but it's part of the reason Tokerville will go from 1,700 residents right now to approximately 17,000 residents in the next 5 to 10 years.
That's huge.
So, yeah, people want to live by the new Chief Toker Reservoir. The reason for Chief Toker Reservoir was kind of, you know, so they had somewhere to retain some of that water they were losing downstream. So you know, the Ash Creek Reservoir, mm-hmm. do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
So just south of New Harmony, there's that little natural lake that builds up and empties itself all the time right there just off of the freeway. So
okay.
if you're coming south from New Harmony, it's on the right. If you're going north, and it's on the left, just as you go through the Black, come up over the Black Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach has talked about this, Zach Reinstrom, and said, look, that's water we need, and it keeps it's just this muddy bog that mm-hmm. empties itself whenever. So they're attempting, what they're trying to do is get that water and capture it and keep it so that we have a kind of a backup water plan.
That's awesome.
Chief Toker Reservoir.
Where'd they get the name Chief Toker? Have you heard that?
So, yeah, I did a little reading on Chief Toker. He's the very pioneer-friendly Indian back, Native American back when they were first settling this area. And instead of fighting the white people, the settlers, the Mormon pioneers, he decided that he wanted to be friends with them and was revered both in Indian lore and in pioneer lore as being kind of a bridge between the two peoples.
That's
awesome. Chief Toker. So, and then on the radar, not there yet, is the Warner Valley Reservoir, which some say will never happen. They've been talking about it for 100 years now. They're in the midst of land swaps and everything, and it may or may not ever happen.
That'd be nice to have one there, though.
So, yeah. And it will be big. It'll be between the size of Quail and Sand Hollow. So, very, very big lake if they ever do get all the land swap and everything and permission to get it done.
That'd be nice because Sand Hollow is always so crazy, like on the holiday.
Oh,
weekend,
yeah.
That you just don't even want to go.
A waiting line to get in.
So early and have your kids camp it out for you.
Okay, another chance to give away. So this is pretty cool. I have four lanyards. So So we'll give away two lanyards each to two people for Club 17 for the championship tomorrow at Copper Rock Golf Course. Now, these are things, you know, the lanyard you wear around your neck, and you have a little, what do they call it, laminated. A laminated pass. It'll get you into Club 17. Club 17 is like this covered, nice area, elevated area where you can sit in there, sip your favorite beverage, and watch the ladies come in the championship tomorrow. I have four of these to give away, so really only two winners. But if you want to call, we have those, and we still have a couple of tickets left as well for the VIP tickets for the LPGA Senior Championship tomorrow at Copper Rock.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong, Mello. We still got a couple of tickets and passes left, right?
Yeah, we still have two of the lanyards, and then there's all of these.
Very cool. If you want to go see the LPGA Championship tomorrow, these are kind of the best tickets you can get, the VIP tickets and then those lanyards for Club 17. Just give us a call. Maybe at this point, text in, right?
Yeah, probably text in.
467-5842. That's the 435 area code, 467-5842. One of our listeners sent me a picture of their relatives holding up the skin of old Ephraim. Was it 10 feet or 11 feet? Anyway, that gigantic bear that was captured way back in 1923. The two guys trying to hold up the skin are standing on stools and holding the bear skin as high as they can, and it's still got three feet anyway on the ground because they couldn't get high enough to stretch the whole thing out. But
that's a big bear.
That's a scary bear.
A really big bear.
But he wasn't hurting anybody. Just a little snack.
Eating sheep. Come on. I have not done it yet this week. I did want to mention my favorite article of the week that I ran across. This is on Intellectual Takeout. I'm telling you, I don't know who this guy is, Kurt Malberg. Maybe I'll try to get him on my show, but he is a fantastic writer. This dude, every article he writes, I'm like, yeah. Anyway, go to Intellectual Takeout. The name of the article is, "As a Husband and Father, I Endorse Harrison Butker's Speech."
Okay.
We talked about it a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. Harrison Butker, who, by the way, made the longest field goal in Super Bowl history, 57-yarder, is now being vilified, doxed, I guess, D-O-X-X-E-D. I don't even know what that word means, but by the liberal left, saying how dare he say women should be moms? How dare he think that he tell women that mom can be one of the glorious things they can ever do? And it's just amazing to me. So the NFL, Mello, and we only have 2 minutes, so I got to talk about it. The NFL has about 50 players a year getting arrested for domestic violence, illegal drug, you know, in their system, DUIs. They have every year. And this isn't like, oh, they happen one. No, every year about 50 players in the league get arrested for that. Every time someone gets arrested for that, you know what the NFL does, press release-wise?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing?
They don't even make a statement, nothing. Well, Harrison Butker comes out with a speech saying that women, sure, you can have a great career and that's awesome, but you should also know that maybe one of the greatest moments of your life will be being a mom and a wife. And the NFL has immediately after his speech, when it kind of hit the publicity, NFL said he does not represent us. We want nothing to do with that. So here's this league that's trying to get the everyman like me, or you or your husband, interested in their games. They ignore domestic violence. They ignore drug abuse. They ignore DUI. But someone got on a stage at a Catholic college and gave a speech about promoting families. That's when the NFL draws their line in the sand and said, oh, no, we're not going to have any of that.
That's representative of where we're at right now, which is sad.
It is sad, very sad. real quick, got one. No, I don't have time for this. Basically, though, I support, like Kurt Malberg on this article, I support everything that Harrison Butker said. He didn't say you can't to anyone. He said you will love being a mom. You will love being a wife.
Yes, you do. And grandmas and grandpas are the best things to be ever. So,
for sure.
Endorsed.
We're out of time. Thanks, Mello, for helping out today. It's always great to talk to you. And we'll be back on Monday.